Well, cue the NFL draft twinkly music. And with the third overall pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback, LSU. What exactly is Houston getting and their new player in the defensive backfield? How will he fit into this defensive scheme? And what else can we see from some other NFLSU hopefuls today in the second and third rounds and in the later rounds on Saturday as well? We'll break into that and more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. I am Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter as well at Locked On LSU. But you can listen to us on whatever your preferred podcast platform is, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, however you choose to listen to your podcast, you can find us on there. You can also find us on YouTube as well. So make sure to check us out on YouTube, Locked On LSU. You can hit that subscribe button, and then you won't miss a second of the Locked On LSU content, and you'll get notified as soon as the podcast drops. So I will check y'all out on YouTube as well. But last night, a really crazy and weird NFL draft, a bunch of trades. The Patriots selected an offensive lineman out of Chattanooga that was really projected to go like in the third or fourth round. A really crazy day in the NFL draft, and then also a very defensive heavy draft. Two edge rushers taken with the 1 and 2 spot. But one pick that I was a little bit shocked about was the one that I know is most important to you as an LSU fan, and that is Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback, taken with the third overall pick to the Houston Texans. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast throughout the week, you would have heard me talk about the cornerback debate between Derek Stingley Jr. and Ahmad Gardner, Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati. I said several times, Derek Stingley Jr. is a better cornerback. His stats in 2019 were better than Sauce Gardner's in his best season in 2021. I think that Derek Stingley just has those uncoachables of just mentality of being an absolute ball hawk. He's incredibly fluid and smooth, and I don't think that's something that Ahmad Gardner can do as well as Derek Stingley can. Obviously, both just badass cornerbacks taken 3 and 4 back-to-back. Derek Stingley to Houston, Sauce Gardner to the New York Jets. But I was a little bit surprised that Derek Stingley was taken over Sauce Gardner, because even though I do think he is a better cornerback, I was thinking that there have got to be so many NFL general managers out there that are a little bit spooked by two things. One, the injury. Derek Stingley is coming off of an injury, and it has left him out of majority of both the 2021 and 2020 seasons. And also because his production in 2020 and 2021, albeit not a very large sample size, hasn't even come close to what he was able to do in 2019. Of course, completely different teams, you know, losing Dave Aranda after 2019 and losing their defensive coordinator. I mean, the defense was kind of a mess. The team as a whole was kind of a mess over the past 2 years. But I said on the podcast yesterday, if there's going to be a team that goes for Derek Stingley, it can be a team that is not necessarily in win now mode, but more so in rebuild mode. Because a team that needs to win right now, immediately, whether it's Super Bowl or whether it's, you know, a coach or a general manager drafting for their jobs, they may not be able to afford the risk of Derek Stingley in terms of injury and production. But the Houston Texans are in rebuild mode. They have a new head coach. The quarterback, you know, we don't necessarily know if Davis Mills is going to be their quarterback of the future or if they're looking to draft a quarterback in next year's draft. They're going younger in Houston. It's a completely new identity change in Houston, and Derek Stingley Jr. just fits into that perfectly. The youth movement, I mean, Derek Stingley Jr. is only 21 years old. He'll have his second contract up at 25. So, I mean, that's incredibly young for an NFL player. So I think Houston knows that they're getting kind of a value pick, and that Derek Stingley has the longevity, injury issues aside, which is a big caveat and what I want to break down little bit later in this segment. But, I mean, I think Houston looked at Derek Stingley and said, this guy is your prototypical cornerback. I mean, Derek Stingley has all of the intangibles. His dad was in the NFL. His grandfather was in the NFL. It's in his blood. It's in, I mean, and you just, you can tell in his mind. He is an absolute ball hawk. He is a football player. And you also look at, like, at his pro day, for example. He got his boot off 3 weeks before the pro day. We learned from Derek Stingley that he felt 100%. He got total clearance the day before his pro day. And still ran a 4.37 40. So, the ceiling for Derek Stingley is so incredibly high. Injury setbacks, you hate to see it. But I still think that we saw Derek Stingley go where we expected to see him go after his stellar 2019 season, and that was at the top of the draft. I mean, I even thought that, you know, after 2019, I was like, this kid's a true freshman. And he could go to the NFL right now. But that's my thought. And of course, I'm going to think that it's Derek Stingley Jr. I love him. You love him. Of course, I think that Houston's getting, you know, a wonderful player. But what do the national talking heads and the draft gurus think about it? So Dominique Foxworth and Mina Kimes broke down the trade, gave their thoughts on it on ESPN's draft coverage. So this is Dominique Foxworth and Mina Kimes on Derek Stingley Jr. and his new home in Houston.
Love Sauce Gardner, but I think Derek Stingley is definitely better, and he's a cornerstone that you can build around the most important position.
The thing about the Texans is when your roster's that barren, you need cornerstones. Mm-hmm. This kid is a cornerstone. Yeah. He is, as long as he's healthy, he is the dude who defines your franchise for the next 10 years.
I mean, they both said it. He's a cornerstone. He is a building block. He, you know, he could be a franchise player, like Mina Kimes said, for the next 10 years. Houston is rebuilding. Houston needs those solid building blocks in order to, you know, get their solid foundation and then move forward. And Houston clearly saw Derek Stingley being, you know, one of the very first building blocks for this new era of Houston. So I think both of them using that word cornerstone, you know, no pun intended, cornerback cornerstone, but using Derek Stingley as a solid foundation and a solid cornerstone for them completely rebuilding their franchise, I think shows how much they really truly do believe in Derek Stingley. And, you know, injuries aside, they see him being the future of the franchise. CBS also had some NFL draft coverage. This is what the NFL draft gurus had to say as well.
Derek Stingley is probably one of the best defensive players in the draft. Not just cornerbacks. I'm talking about best defensive players because of his ability to take the football away. That's huge. Anytime you see Derek Stingley on tape, on a deep route, he is looking for the football. He turns into a wide receiver. And some of the talent that he went against, just in practice alone in 2019, those wide receivers are tearing up defensive backs in the National Football League. He held his own as a true freshman. So me personally, guys, this is a can't-miss a pick.
And he did hold his own against some of the best wide receiver talent in the country, going up against Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, guys who have played on Sunday, going up in practice against two back-to-back offensive rookies of the year in Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. He, as a true freshman, was holding his own against the best wide receiver talent in the country. And you look at him as, you know, as just one of many in a line of LSU defenders to get drafted, and he was the highest graded per PFF. He was the highest graded defensive player coming out of LSU since 2016. So, and guys who aren't just playing on Sundays, but also some of the best defensive players in the league. So Derek Stingley per PFF was graded as a 91.7. Jamal Adams in 2016 was a 91.4. Tre'Davious White in 2016 as well, 90.2. Both first round talent. Devin White, top five pick, Tampa Bay linebacker, was a 90. Clear at 90. And Derek Stingley Jr., we know Jamal Adams and Tre'Davious White and Devin White were all able to, or have all been able to do in the NFL. I mean, they're getting paid like some of the best players in the NFL, and they're producing like some of the best players in the NFL. I mean, Devin White, Super Bowl champion. And Derek Stingley was graded per PFF higher than all of them. Of course, you have to take all of that with a grain of salt because, you know, they don't know the defensive schemes. They don't know exactly what the X's and O's are behind all of these defensive plays. But Derek Stingley Jr., just one of many defensive players coming out of LSU that I feel like inevitably is going to make a splash in the NFL. But I think there's one caveat to that as well. I look at Lovie Smith, head coach at Houston, who's also the defensive play caller in Houston as well. He traditionally plays two-man coverage and in their defensive backfield. LSU now, and in 2019 when Derek Stingley had his breakout year, and LSU has for a very long time played predominantly man coverage. And I think that we all know that that's what makes LSU's defensive backfield such a force to be reckoned with, is because they play that NFL pro-style defense. So I think that, you look at it one of two ways. I don't believe that Lovie Smith would have selected Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback who plays predominantly man, if he wanted to fit him in this two-man coverage, in this more zone coverage style defense. So I think that may have been Lovie Smith's way of saying, you know, we're going to transform Houston's defense into more pro style, more of a man-to-man coverage. And that's exactly why they went with Derek Stingley Jr. But again, Derek Stingley Jr., third overall pick in the NFL draft, just one of many, not just LSU defensive players, but LSU players in general, taking in those top spots in the NFL draft. But coming up next, who else is left from LSU to be taken? Of course, this isn't as star-studded of a draft as LSU players have had in the past, but there are plenty of LSU hopefuls that are waiting to hear their name called both today and tomorrow in the later rounds of the draft. So we'll break all of that down coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar, because summer is coming. And with summer, you're going to be really busy. You could be going to the beach or to the pool, and you're going to need some food on the go. And you're going to be in your bathing suit. You're going to be in your shorts. And you're going to want to look good, and you're going to want to feel good. So throw these in your bags. Throw them on the go. Built Bar is the perfect on-the-go healthy snack. And the best part about Built Bar is that they're delicious as well. You don't have to sacrifice delicious food for your health. You can have both with Built Bar. They've got bars, they've got puffs. They're all covered in 100% real chocolate. The puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. So they've got banana cream pie, they've got churro, all these crazy flavors for the puffs. And the Built Bars, Cherry Barcia is one of my favorites as well. So try those out. And if that's not enough flavor for you, then you might want to try the Mixed Box. The Mixed Box comes with 12 different flavors of bars and puffs. When I first made my first order at Built Bar, that's what I did, was the Mixed Box, just to try out the different flavors and kind of see which ones I liked best. And with Built Bar, like I said, you don't have to sacrifice flavor and health. So most Built Bars contain only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. And if you have a sweet tooth like I do, sometimes I like to lean toward, you know, maybe a candy bar, maybe a dessert kind of thing. But candy bars have 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, dozens of net carbs, and that doesn't always fit into my healthy lifestyle. So Built Bar is the perfect alternative. So go to Built.com to get all of your favorites. Banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, so many more delicious flavors. They're coming out all the time, so check out Built.com. And go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D-1-5, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now, a very, very big announcement. For the first time ever, Locked On is hosting live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft from our studios in Dallas, with pick-by-pick analysis from our local team and experts and draft gurus. Tune in all 3 days. So if you missed it last night, check it out tonight as well, as the second round kicks off tonight. Our draft team guides you through every pick and every trade in real time. So it started last night at 7 p.m. Eastern, and it'll be available tonight at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Locked On NFL on YouTube and on the Odyssey app. So Derek Stingley, the lone LSU Tiger, taken in the first round. And I feel like in the 2020 draft, we're all a little spoiled with 5 players taken in the first round. You're looking at Joe Burrow, Calavon Chason, Patrick Queen, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Justin Jefferson. And this year is by LSU standards, maybe a little bit less of a top-heavy draft, but there are still plenty of LSU players waiting to hear their names being called tonight. One most notably is Damone Clark. So he was originally graded, after this past year, as one of the top linebackers in the draft. Could have seen him being maybe not necessarily a first-round talent, but absolutely a second, maybe early third-round talent as a linebacker. But of course, You know, he had a herniated disc. Damone Clark underwent spinal fusion surgery in the offseason, and he's been coming back. You know, he's been back at LSU. He's been training. He's been lifting weights. He's been kind of getting back into his day-to-day activities, and he's expected to make a full recovery. But with a surgery like that, with an injury like that, that's incredibly risky. You can look at, like, torn ACLs. Jameson Williams, for example, coming off of a torn ACL and was drafted last night. Derek Stingley dealing with ankle issues, dealing with several injuries over the past couple of years, taken in the top three. So there are NFL general managers that don't shy away from some injuries. But those kinds of things, your spine, a herniated disc, that's a kind of injury that can affect your entire body. You know, torn ACL, you get surgery, you recover, and you can come back 100%. Damone Clark is expected to come back 100%, but I don't necessarily blame NFL general managers for not wanting to spend really high premium draft stock, first, second, even third round, on an injury question mark. So Damone Clark, his draft stock at this point is uncertain, but while I don't necessarily expect to maybe hear his name called in the second or third round tonight, definitely at some point in a later round, there's going to be a team that needs some linebacker depth and can afford to maybe wait for Damone Clark to be 100% or kind of wait it out through his rehab. Because I can predict, I think Damone Clark is going to be one of those players in the NFL. Like, I don't think that he's necessarily going to end up being a Pro Bowler. I don't think that he's necessarily going to end up being, you know, a difference maker between, like, you know, a Super Bowl caliber team and a non-Super Bowl caliber team. I think you look at, like, Aaron Donald, for example, is the kind of edge rusher that can be the difference between, you know, a Super Bowl and not. I don't necessarily see Damone Clark being that type of disruptive linebacker, but I do absolutely see him having a successful career in the NFL, a long career in the NFL, a reliable, solid addition to some team's linebacker room. So, Damone Clark, draft is totally unknown. And I could be talking at both sides of my mouth that he could be taken in the second round. There could be a team that looks at his medicals and don't really mind what they see. So we'll keep an eye on Damone Clark as well. But you're looking at, you know, defensive tackle Neil Farrell, defensive back Cordell Flatt. You're looking at Ed Ingram, offensive guard, running back Ty Davis Price. Running back is hard. I mean, you're not very likely going to see many running backs taken in the first round. You're going to take the absolute best of the best running backs taken in the second. Look at Derrick Henry, for example, taken in the second round. Jonathan Taylor taken in the second round. Two of the best running backs in the NFL right now. I know we saw two taken in the first round last year, Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, but I think that was, like, more of the exception and not the rule in today's NFL. The running back position isn't valued as much as it has been in the past. So you can maybe see Ty Davis Price go, you know, like third, fourth round, just because I don't think he's at that upper echelon of running back talent, but a really, really solid running back in a position group that maybe not be as valued as it has been in the past. Maybe we see Ty Davis Price go tonight. We got Chasen Hines, Kate York also. Kicker, they all have a realistic shot at getting drafted. Austin Deculus could kind of sneak in to one of those later rounds, maybe tomorrow in a fifth, sixth, seventh round kind of area. But, I mean, there are plenty of LSU players to keep your eye on both tonight and tomorrow in the NFL draft. So I mentioned Cade York, and I think that the kicker position in the draft is so incredibly interesting for a few different reasons. One, a lot of teams don't like drafting kickers. They just don't see it as a premier position that they would like to spend draft stock on. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals, for example, drafting Evan McPherson out of Florida. That could be a trend that the Cincinnati Bengals have set, because Evan McPherson really did kick his way into the Super Bowl. That's how they beat the Tennessee Titans. That's how the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship. That's how the Bengals were really carried into the Super Bowl. Obviously, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase got them set up into the situation where, you know, it was the difference between a field goal and not, a field goal and a loss. But I think that a lot of teams are looking at just how valuable a kicker can be, that in a game of inches, every single point matters. And being able to rely on a kicker, being able to, you know, sit back on the 40, 45, 50-yard line and say, no, we got a guy, he can take us there, I think is invaluable. I was speaking with Teron Davenport, who covers the Titans for ESPN's NFL Nation, and he was telling me, you know, man, I would love for the Titans to get Cade York. The Titans are traditionally a team that doesn't draft kickers. They usually prefer to pick them up either as UDFAs or as free agents, you know, just sign them throughout the season. So he doesn't see that being a realistic possibility because he expects Cade York to get drafted probably in, you know, a sixth or seventh round. That's, you know, you don't see kickers go any earlier than that. So keep an eye out on Cade York. I think that might be kind of an interesting little storyline here. We've seen how valuable Cade York has been to LSU, for example, and I'm sure NFL teams see the value in not just him, but in the kicker position as well. So keep an eye on that tonight, Friday, and Saturday during the day. We've got some more LSU Tigers to be taken in the future. But coming up next, we've got, you know, things going on. I feel like I'm drinking LSU sports out of a fire hose these days. We've got some basketball updates, LSU signing a 4-star recruit, and also LSU baseball taking on Georgia tonight. So I'll get into that coming up next. But before I do that, I have to remind you that BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports information. If you want to check out BetOnline for round two tonight, I would recommend maybe looking at Malik Willis being taken with the 34th, 35th overall pick. We didn't see Malik Willis get taken last night. Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback taken in round one, so I do expect Malik Willis to be taken very early in the second round. So if you see a good value there on Bet Online where Malik Willis is taken early in the second round, I recommend you putting some money on it. Plus, you can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, the start of the Major League Baseball season. Find all that on BetOnline.net, and it is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information. They've got live betting, they've got playoffs, they've got esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, Matt McMahon has wasted no time getting more players to come into LSU. McMahon now has 9 scholarship players on his roster after this roster was left absolutely barren in Will Wade's departure. But LSU basketball signing a 4-star prospect in Jalen Reed. So Jalen Reed was originally signed with Florida. He was asked for a release from his signing whenever Mike White, former head coach at Florida, left Florida to go take the head job over with the Bulldogs in Georgia. But a big pickup for Matt McMahon, and I think that's a huge testament for him as a coach, because we saw a lot of his transfer, or we saw a lot of his former players from Murray State transfer into LSU following their coach. Here's another 4-star prospect who wants to play under Matt McMahon. So, I mean, I think that's just in the offseason recruiting, even when LSU could be facing so many unknowns, whether that's, you know, postseason bans, whatever that might be, whatever the future may hold for LSU, I wouldn't blame any sort of, I wouldn't blame a recruit or a transfer, whatever it may be, to avoid LSU with a 10-foot pole because of just the unknown there. But I think that's a huge testament to Matt McMahon. But who is Jalen Reed? Jalen Reed, 6'10", whoa, 220-pound power forward, has a really big, strong body on him. He's the second high school signee for Matt McMahon. Cornelius Williams was the first. We've got 2 high school recruits coming in so far in Cornelius Williams and Jalen Reed. So he had offers from Arizona State, Maryland, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss. Also, whenever he asked for that release from Florida, he heard from Kentucky, Louisville, Texas Tech, Memphis, Oklahoma State, some of these top basketball programs in the country. So another big testament to the player that Jalen Reed is. He's ranked by 24/7 Sports as the number one overall prospect nationally in the 2022 recruiting class, and also in the same 2022 recruiting class, he's ranked as the 13th best power forward. So a huge get for this LSU basketball team, a huge pickup for Matt McMahon. And, you know, I really don't know what this team holds. I mean, right now, the team stands, they have transfers, Justice Hill, Trey Hannibal, Cam Hayes, Derek Fontaine, Kendall Coleman, Wani Wilkinson, and Justice Williams did decide to come back to LSU after entering the transfer portal. So now they've got 9 scholarship players under their belts. It's going to be a pretty difficult and long offseason, but he's been able to grab all of these transfers, recruits. So I think that, you know, while the future is unknown, under Matt McMahon, it feels pretty solid. But in baseball news as well, LSU baseball at home this weekend taking on Georgia. First pitch tonight at 6:30. It'll be a weekend series, Friday through Sunday. I know we've had a few series starting on Thursday. But where it stands right now, Georgia's currently the 22nd team ranked in the country, LSU 27 in the collegiate baseball polls. All of these freaking college baseball polls, just getting in mind, get a pretzel sometime. Mikayla Hilliard on the mound for the Tigers. Mikayla Hilliard last weekend in their sweep against Missouri. I think that was the best start that I have ever seen from Mikayla Hilliard in his tenure at LSU. So hoping to recreate that again against Georgia, because this is a really talented Georgia baseball team. They're ranked second team in the East behind Tennessee, the number one team in the country. So it's not going to be an easy task for LSU this weekend. The pitching was great last weekend. The defense continues to be a problem. So they cannot expect to beat this Georgia team and continue to make these sloppy mistakes on defense. So I think if they can start to clean some of those things up, they'll be in good shape. But I think one really interesting thing about this Georgia baseball team is how they play on Sundays. So Georgia baseball, I mean, obviously, you know, second team and second best team in the country. On Sundays, not in the country, excuse me, in the SEC East. Oh, so different. On Sundays, they just completely unravel. I'll go back to, let's say, okay, their first weekend in the SEC. On Friday, this was their series against Mississippi State, first weekend of SEC play. Friday against Mississippi State, they won 11-0. Saturday, won 12-11. Sunday, they lost 20-3 against Kentucky. On Sunday, they lost 18-5 against Florida on that final game. It was a Saturday, but the final game of a three-game series. They gave up 8 runs, ended up winning 14-8, but still gave up 8 runs. The following week against South Carolina, gave up 9 runs on Sunday. The following Saturday, third game of a three-game series that started on Thursday, lost to Texas A&M 23-9. And I mean, this Georgia team on Sundays completely unravels. So I'm expecting offensive fireworks from LSU, you know, of course, all weekend long, but especially on Sunday, because it's this weird trend from Georgia. I don't know if it's their Sunday pitcher, and I don't know if that's just a change that they haven't made yet, which they probably should make soon, of their Sunday pitching, or if on Sundays that they're just Sundays or, you know, the third game of a three-game series, they're just gassed, or I don't know what it is, but they're a very talented team that just isn't very talented on Sundays. So, I mean, of course, I'll be watching throughout the weekend, but Sunday is going to be one game in particular. But the trend of Georgia so far this season has been Friday and Saturday, super competitive. Sunday, it's a hit parade. So that's going to be one interesting thing that I'll be keeping an eye out for this weekend. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Coming up on Monday, I'll have a recap of LSU baseball as well as some extra LSU football news from spring practice that we'll have coming out throughout the weekend. I'm going to make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft, where Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.